Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
There's so many times in the Word where Paul refers to the gospel, and he just doesn't say the gospel. You know, the gospel is the good news. It's actually the almost too good to be true news, okay? But he refers to the gospel, the good news, as the gospel of grace. Everybody say the gospel of grace. The gospel of God's power, the gospel of God's dominion. It's not the gospel of us being on our heels and taking it in the teeth and wondering when we're going to get through. Man, we are overcomers, and no matter what, we overcome. And that's what God's given us. In Ephesians 2:8, which is the benchmark scripture for this month in January, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Let's all read this together, okay? Ready? Read. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, the bottom line here is, and again, this is kind of it sets the tone for this series, is that God's grace, listen, is unmerited and can be unearned. All right? You don't deserve it. Don't think you can. See, there's a little bit of religion that kind of remains in most churches, and it's that, man, that you could cut yourself off and you could keep yourself from God's grace. You cannot. Man, God's grace has been revealed to all men, is what the Word says. See, but you could cut yourself off from accessing God's grace. Why? Because we're saved by grace through faith. It's by grace through faith. That's how we live our lives. See, the way God does anything is the way God does everything. If you're believing God for healing, you're believing God for finances, you're believing God for your career, you're believing God for your future, you're believing God for your children, your home, whatever it is, listen, it's by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Repeat that with me. By grace through faith. See, and it's not of ourselves. It's nothing we can earn. It's nothing we deserve. See, God's give this. He's poured out. This is the gospel. It's by grace through faith. This is how this works. And then, let me just tell you, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Why? Because it's by grace through faith. It's by grace through faith. It's unmerited, unearned favor. It's God's favor that's in our lives. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. But you know what? Man, God's poured it out in our lives. He's shed it abroad in our hearts. The whole world's sin, every bit of sin in your life has been paid for by the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, that's grace. You should write that down. You should make sure that, because I'll just tell you, the thief comes immediately to steal the seed. Man, the devil's going to mess with you when you leave this service. The devil's going to try to convince you into thinking you don't deserve this. And you know what? He's absolutely right, but God doesn't withhold it from you. God gives us his power, his supernatural ability, and his favor. You wonder why things work out in my life or things work out in other people's lives here. Man, things work out. Why? Because God favors us. And it's just what you think it is. See, we can walk this earth now because of the finished work of Christ as God's favorite. Man, there's so many people that are lost and that are desperate. This church, a primary chapter in God's Word for the development and launch of this church was Ezekiel 34. And something that God said was, listen, no longer will my sheep have to bear the shame of the heathen. No longer will my sheep have to bear the name of the heathen or the shame. But listen, God called us lost sheep. We're still his sheep. See, we're all sheep. Some are just lost. See, and what we have to do is we have to recognize now that it's God's grace that we don't just comply with this, but we're transformed by it. See, it's interesting today, and I was reading, and it really impacted me that, man, Paul presented the gospel. He preached the gospel as an impartation of the gift that God had in his life. An impartation. Where there's things that what God's doing, the Holy Spirit tonight is imparting things into your life. See, there's things that you may have that missing links or voids or missing pieces in your life, and you're wondering when things are gonna work out, when you're gonna get over the rejection that you've suffered or the loneliness that you've had. Man, it happens by the impartation, this preaching of the gospel. See, peace comes into our life when we just sit under the preaching of the gospel. God's prosperity. See, what it does is it reminds us, the Holy Spirit uses services like this to remind us of everything that Jesus said. Listen, and things we didn't know. I've said this before, but it bears repeating, that there have been countless times that I preached and I thought, well, I did as good as I could do. I hope it helped somebody. And someone will come up to me after the service and say, oh my gosh, that word was for me. God spoke to me by what you said. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that's good. And then they'll tell me what God spoke to them. And I'm like, man, that's really good. I wish I would have said that. But see, listen. We're not dealing with God like a natural man. We're not dealing with God like he's flesh and blood. God is spirit and he's truth. Write that down. Spirit and truth. That's how this works. That's how his grace works. His grace doesn't work by our intellect. See, this requires a revelation, a spirit of revelation and wisdom. Man, again, I'm reading through Romans and I'm thinking, this is the most incredible thing that was ever written. Yet, you know what? There was probably a time in my life where I never would have thought that. I probably would have thought that it was goofy, or maybe I would have had to fight through it just to read it. Now I can't stop reading it. Man, now there was a point today where I flipped the page and I'm like, I don't know if I, because my mind evidently wandered while I was reading it. I went back and I reread it again. But see, we have to understand that his word has to be able to come alive in our lives. See, that's his grace. See, it's not just stuff. It's not just us getting cuts in the line to Disney World. Man, it's about, listen, this is about God's presence in occupying our lives and us realizing that we are spirit beings and we're born of God and the nature of God's on the inside of us. See, there's times where you'll read the word and you'll think, you know, wait a second, I think this is contradicting. Maybe if you read in the Old Testament, which is a different covenant. There's a new and better covenant that we occupy now with God. But see, there's times we'll read it, we'll think, you know, I'm not sure. There's people that'll preach things. And you'll think, well, my gosh, this is confusing. No, you have to go back and just look at it. You have to look at it, look through the filter and lens of God's heart. And see, that's where his grace is occupied, where his heart is. See, and our faith just gets us to a place where we can realize that grace in our lives. It requires trust. It requires faith. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And where we get to that place of grace. You get that place of grace, let me just tell you something. It's a place of forgiveness. You know, there's so many people, the Lord showed me this today. Let's go hear the word and I'll show you how the Lord showed me. Okay? Let's go to Mark 11, 22. Because see, initially I was just going to go to Mark 11, 24 tonight. Okay? And when we get to Mark 11, 24, you'll realize why that's where I was going to go. But Mark 11, 22, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The original text is, have the God kind of faith, or have faith, the faith of God, the God kind of faith. Everybody say the God kind of faith. It's not just faith in God from an arm's distance. It's the God kind of faith. This is what I have. So have the God kind of faith. Verse 23, for absolutely I say unto you, that whoever says to this mountain, see, now all of us fit. Man, whoever, it's not saying, man, people that know how to recite it, people that have prayed 1,000 hours this month, it doesn't say that. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. Underline that, highlight that, write that down. Maybe the margin of your Bible, write, I don't receive doubt. Now listen, you're going to get doubt. Doubt is the enemy's going to come at you with doubt. And it's going to be natural. And you're going to, you know what? And a lot of times that doubt is factual. So it's real hard for your natural mind. Man, if you're not looking at it through the lens and the filter of God's heart, that doubt seems real. But see, and don't receive that doubt though. Is that doubt going to come at you? Absolutely. Does it happen to me, Sandy? Does doubt fly at your life? It's regular. I mean, it's an onslaught that the enemy. That's the tool. What the enemy's going to use is doubt and unbelief by lying and deceiving us, trying to confuse us. See, that's it. That sums him up. But don't receive any doubt. And you don't receive that doubt in your heart, but you believe that those things that he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. We just have to believe that. Man, I believe that what I've said, I believe it, God. I believe I'm healed. See, well-meaning, nice people, and understand, listen, nice isn't a fruit of the Spirit. All right? There's times where I'll be really direct. And some people even accuse me of being in your face. I'm not in your face, but I am direct. And sometimes I can be in your face a little bit, but it's not as much as people accuse me of, okay? But the last thing you want me to be is nice in here. The last thing you want is a bunch of sympathy. And there's been so many people. I know that things that happen in our life hurt like the dickens. But the last thing we need is sympathy. You know what sympathy is? Identifying with the problem, identifying with what we've suffered. No, empathy, compassion is identifying with the solution, not identifying with the problem. See, and I understand we have to laugh with those who laugh and cry with those who cry. Man, you feel people, what the pain, the sorrow, the rejection, what people go through. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that's been rejected more than I have. And I get it. But let me just tell you what I can't do. And I learned it. Man, I heard this. Christine Kane, 10 or 15 years ago in one of the girls' brunches, made a statement that has marked my life, has changed my life when she said, listen, things will happen and they're momentary. Don't get caught in that moment. See, so many people we deal with, they're just caught in a moment. They're caught in that rejection. They're caught in that poverty. They're caught in that disease. They're caught in that divorce. They're caught in that abortion. They're caught in whatever. They're caught in that felony. They're caught, man, I'm just telling you, we're new creations in Christ. Old things have passed away. That's what grace is. Grace makes us new creations in Christ. Well, I'm not who my raps are. I'm not what my history says I am. The Bible goes so far as to say I am hidden in Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, the grace of God is it's appointed unto man once to die. But guess what? We believe in the death and resurrection. And you know something? Listen, so when I died in June of 1979, when I said, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life. I believe. I'm gonna live for you, God. Jesus is the Lord of my life. You know what? I died that day. I was born again. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's not Nicodemus saying, I'm a grown man. How do I enter back into my mother's womb? Jesus said, no, it's a spiritual rebirth. Everybody say it's a spiritual rebirth. See, it's the eyes of the Spirit that we see things and we hear things and we factor things by faith, by trust in God. Man, God is never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Never, you're never going to have to beg bread. You're never going to be left without. You're never going to be unforgiven. You're never going to be unforgiven. God's never going to account a thing you've ever done wrong in your account. God's always going to take care of you, always going to blot out your sin, always going to cover your sin. His love is shed in your life. See, that's God's grace. But listen to this, verse 24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's a strong verse. That's God's grace. But look at verse 25. Verse 25, and let me just tell you, when I want to preach verse 24, I'm telling you, years ago, Pastor Sandy said, Bill, you've got to preach 25 with that. Forgiveness, unforgiveness is, man, it's going to cut people off. Listen, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. See, here's the bottom line. Why? That your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But listen, that's grace. Some of you guys will say, well, I can't forgive him. It was so heinous what he did. No, you can. That's grace. See, it's not just by chance that that forgiveness and unforgiveness is put in the same sentence that Jesus was responded to those guys. And he said, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive, you'll have it. And when you stand praying, forgive. It's God's grace that we can forgive. I promise you, there's things in all of our lives that are humanly impossible for us to forgive. But I believe this, listen. I believe forgiving and forgetting can reach our lives because of God's grace. Or you don't carry that anymore. Man, there's people, Pastor Sandy and I ran into a man last night. He came up and he said, well, my goodness, how are you doing? And he kind of said, kind of a backhanded kind of thing. And Sandy said, I don't remember. What's up? I said, yeah, that guy's a full-grown, just a jerk. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking it was something that happened 35 years ago probably. I just can't remember it. See, I believe with God, I believe what the law of the world talks about, the statute of limitations, that after a certain amount of time, if they didn't catch you, if they didn't incarcerate you, you're okay. But you know, I think in the kingdom, I think there's a statute of limitations in our heart as well, that we'll let go of things, and I think it'll try to pop back up and pop back up and pop back up, but if we're not gonna grab a hold of it, I think the devil's even smart enough to say, okay, let's try a different angle. I can't trip him up with that unforgiveness. See, and I believe that this is God's grace. And so stop saying things like you can't forgive him or I can't forgive her. Yeah, you know what? What happened may well have been heinous. May have been something that a natural person couldn't forgive. But because of God's grace, because of God's power, his supernatural ability, man, you can. Why? Because of God's grace, what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the head, I'm so out in front of this now. Believe that you receive what God has already promised and he's already provided. See, that's what, I think just to make this clear and to keep this really simple, is that instead of us just saying that God's promised it, I think a synonym of God promising it is he's provided it. So I think we look at it like this. Believe that you receive what God has already, since he's promised, provided. Does that make sense? So you're walking around and you got symptoms, or you got a diagnosis, or you've got whatever. Let's leave that up on the screen in case people want to take a picture and just remember it, just write it down. But listen, you've got something going on in your body or in your head or in a relationship, and you're like, God, I'm asking you to heal me. God, will you please heal me? I'm believing my healing is coming. Do you understand that's not faith? That's not how you would talk about something that has already been provided you. See, if it's already been provided you, instead of saying, oh, God, would you please heal my body? You say, God, thank you for healing me. God, you sent your word and healed me and delivered me of all my destructions, by whose stripes you were healed. Do you understand the tense of those statements? It's past tense. It's actually past perfect tense. It's past tense. It's already happened. Your healing has already been procured. Your healing has already been paid for. Your salvation's already been prayed for. So you know what you could do? You could walk up to an altar like this and say, God, forgive my sin, cleanse my iniquity. Got to make Jesus the Lord of my life. And guess what? Guess what? You're born again. Guess what? Your destination is heaven. Guess what? Your destiny is heaven as it is on earth as it is in heaven. That's your destiny now. And it's just changed by just you receiving what God has already promised and provided. That's God's grace. His grace is sufficient. For, listen, in his grace, what did God say to Paul? In his grace, Paul's weakness, that God's strength is made perfect in Paul's weakness. Oh my gosh. And what did Paul turn around and say? I'd rather be weak than strong. Oh my gosh. I'm flying by my own abilities, my own strengths. Man, there's areas of ministry, there's areas of leading people that I have strengths. And I always want to gravitate to those strengths. I don't like to go to those weak areas, but that's where God's strength is made perfect. Is that an interesting choice? Is that an interesting way for it to be described in the Bible? He doesn't just say that his strength is revealed in our weakness. It says, listen, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So you know what? Man, that now we cross-reference another verse that says we're complete. We're perfect in him. I'm complete. I'm perfect in him. All my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What is that? It's God's grace. Man, God's ability that's operative in my life. Because you know what? God's spirit. Behind every natural occurrence and every natural law, there's a spiritual law. Man, if things just aren't going right, I'm telling you, you got to turn it around in the spirit. You don't just go retrace your steps and find out where the bad investments or the bad decisions or the errors all began. You can't go back into your past. God's never going to require that of you. God's never going to bring your past up. But you know what? I promise you, you look at it. Is there a door that you've opened in your heart? Is there a door that you've opened in your life? You know, it's interesting. Last night, our alarm went off. You know, it goes, deet, deet, or something. What? How's it sound, Sandy? Is that what it sounds like? Kennedy, what's it sound like for real? I don't think it's a... make the noise. Make the dadgum noise. Deet. It doesn't go deet, deet. Do it again. You been to my house? You guys got it now, okay? What time was that, Sandy? It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. 1:30. What time was it? No, it's when the wind blew or something. It wasn't when Kennedy came home. It was another time. I got up and you didn't, because I'm the defender. I'm the gatekeeper. I got the front door. And I'm like, okay, you're coming in. You got to go through me. That's what I did at like 1:30 in the morning, okay? And so I get up, and Hottie barks too, because she heard the deep thing. Okay, so Hottie's barking. I jump up. I'm running out. I'm ready. I'm going to grab something. I went into the kitchen. I tore a leg off the kitchen table with my bare hands, and I'm going to beat whoever came into my house with this table leg. Okay, and I realize that I go and I check the doors. They're all locked, and I look at Hottie, and she's just sitting. She weighs 5 pounds. It's our dog. 5 pounds, 4 ounces. She's got a weight problem. But I'm looking at this, and I got the table leg in my hand, and I think my knuckles are bleeding because I warmed up on the stone in my house. And so, and I'm looking at Hottie, and Hottie just started looking at me like this. Like, Hottie, there's someone in our house. But there wasn't. It was a false alarm. And there was a point I was going to make that really was going to make this point. Where was I going with that? No, it's perfect. I had you. You were right there. Huh? Opening the door. Yeah, the door wasn't open. I realized that I could go back to bed. I could go to sleep. False alarm. And see, now listen, you got to find that door open in your heart, in your life. Man, some of you guys, it's like, you know what? I just got to find a man. No, you don't. That man's going to have to find you. The man needs to be the pursuer. Girls, single girls, you don't call boys. You don't text boys. Oh, that's so old-fashioned. That's exactly right. It is old school, but it's correct. I need to give you a mic at these services. But listen, we have to understand that the order of this is that God has graced us now. How do I do what I do? Week in and week out, I have no idea. It's God's grace. There's a supernatural ability. There's a favor attached to this. And what's in your heart? See, that's where all this goes. See, what we want to do as a church is we want to give ministry away. What we want to do as a church, we want to be the place that you can dream and your dreams can come alive here. You can realize your dreams here. Man, it's happened too often. It's happened too many times. I'll tell you, 4 years ago, our son-in-law, Press Taylor, who was, I don't even know that he and Brooklyn had just started, I think he was sweet on her. They were just starting to date a little bit. He was calling a little bit. And he was a GA, which is a graduate assistant at the University of Tulsa. You know, those guys make $1,500, a couple thousand dollars a month. They're getting coffee for coaches. They're watching games. They're breaking down film. They're doing a lot of the grunt work. Well, he came up to me during the Daniel Fest this time of year. And he came up to me and he said, Pastor, that year we had relationships and direction and healing were three different weeks of the fast, 21-day Daniel Fest. And he came up and he said, would it be weird if I just believed God for direction through this time? And I said, no, it's not weird at all. It's perfect. In the middle of the fast, he gets a call from the Philadelphia Eagles, Chip Kelly, who was the coach at that time, and said, he just got hired as a Philadelphia Eagles coach. He said, I've got eight coaches that I've got to hire, but I had your number. I thought I'd call you. And they ended up talking for 45 minutes on the phone. And he got hired. He went from a GA at the University of Tulsa to on staff with the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL, the youngest assistant coach in the NFL. Listen, and then Chip Kelly got fired. And Chip Kelly, the 49ers called the Eagles and said, can we talk to Press? And they said, no. The Eagles wouldn't let him call. And talked to him, promoted him, gave him another year in his contract, added money to his contract. And it's just, what is this? It's crazy. It's a favor train. You know, it's interesting. So every year at this time of year, man, coaches are all going through that thing. And you know what? With him, he's just like, you know what? My life's in God's hands and nothing snatched me from the Father's hands. It's just God's favor that operates in our life. His grace. That's what we live by. We live by grace through trust. Can't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't work our way to it. He's just gifted it to us. And then you know what? There's an impartation of grace that comes with receiving the preached word. I think it's an amazing plan. Sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I'm like, God, it'd been so much easier if we'd have done it this way. But I know his way's perfect. I know my way's not. I know my plans are, but God directs us. We make plans, but God directs us. It's his grace.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.